Blog Talk Radio.
9 1 9 1 8 1 7 1.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and good morning to everyone. I certainly trust that you all have a very pleasant evening. You're looking forward to this beautiful Sabbath day as we get ready for this journey with this program this morning. We are certainly grateful to have God joining us this morning to give us some inspiration here, and we celebrate life because he's given us this morning to all those that are in the sound of my voice. So thank you all for being with us this morning. We certainly welcome each and every one of you all. Our purpose today is, as we follow the programming here, our programming today is about a Miracle Prayer Day program. The Miracle Prayer Day, if you're standing in need of a miracle, which you already have, if you're under the sound of my voice, you've already had a miracle, and that miracle is that God woke you up this morning and you have breath in you. I got a text this morning, a very serious text this morning that I was looking at just a few minutes ago while I was logging in, and that's why it gave me a difficult time logging in. Sister Lewis is certainly asking for prayers. Her text message to me was very serious. So if she comes on the line this morning, and all those who are prayer warriors, we're going to be asking for a prayer starting now for her. She will try to fight through and probably be with us, and I'm not recommending that, but she's, knowing Sister Lewis, she's going to try to fight it. So she just said that she was having chest pains, and she feels that she's under attack by the devil, and she said her prayers and whatever God's will is, and that's, but we're faithful to know that God is not done with her yet. And so as many of us go through trials and tribulations, God still has plans for us. So thank all of you all, and our purpose, as I said, and is to, if you're standing in need of a miracle, if you just, you know, you want to be in prayer and an intercessory prayer for someone out there, we're certainly asking you to do that as well. We're short one of our prayer warriors, so if any of you all want to be a prayer warrior this morning, then that's fine. Also, our speaker didn't come through this morning. So what we're going to do is we will more than likely do a group message this morning on exercising your mustard seed of faith, your mustard seed size faith. That's what it is. And you all know that the mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds out there, if not the smallest seeds out there. But it causes a big production of what it manifests into. And I believe God set it out this way on purpose, because all he's asking is that you have faith the size of a mustard seed, and you too can move mountains. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Welcome each and every one of you all with that purpose and all that comes with that. We're going to ask Pastor Roland, if you'd be so kind to give us an opening prayer. We would greatly appreciate that.
Eternal God, our Father, we come to you even this morning from the rising of the sun to the door and down the roof of heaven. We like to be blessed and praised. You see, when two or three are gathered together in your name, that you would be in the mess. And we thank you, Lord, for being in the mess. But when you are in our mess, great things happen. We pray, Lord, that if we just want to be ungrateful and thankful for the vision of Dr. Jesse Walker, and all of our prayer warriors that are on the call this morning, we just thank you so much, Lord. And as we go forth, Lord, help us to
Amen. Thank you for that. Thank you so very much. Once again, those of you all who are just joining us, we say good morning to each and every one of you all. We're so grateful that you're here. Sister Cassandra, are you on with us? I heard a code came in for me earlier. Are you on with us, Sister Cassandra? It's so good morning. Okay. All right. Great. Will you join us as one of our prayer warriors today, please? All right. Thank you so very much for that. We greatly appreciate that. Let's see here. All right. So at this time, we're going to go on and ask Brother Lorenzo, good morning to each and every one of you all once again. If you'd be so kind to give us a scripture reading and the interpretation, we would greatly appreciate that.
Colossians 3:13. It reads, make amends for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. That passage is very deep. If you really look at it, my interpretation is, I was looking at a show the other night, the person's daughter. One family member forgave him, but the other family member could not forgive him. So it caused so much turmoil in their life. And I guess, looking at it from both ways, it's hard to forgive somebody to do that much damage to you or hurt you deeply, in a way. But you have to find something in you to forgive them because it'll eat you up like cancer. Sometimes it takes longer than others. It's a short time or a long time, but you have to find it in your heart and you have to go to God and say, you know, forgive them, because you won't really reach your full potential in life. I don't think that it always be like a thorn in your side to hold at it. I guess when somebody hurts you like that, you know, some people take it different, but you really have to find some way to forgive them, because it's never come or so many ways with that much hate, and they can do something to affect your own life. So that's my interpretation of it, to forgive people that hurt you, no matter what they did to you.
Okay, thank you for that scripture.
The recording has started.
Okay, thank you for that scripture reading and interpretation, Brother Lorenzo. We certainly and gratefully appreciate that. This morning we're going to have an early morning testimony. Woman of Faith is going to bring us her early morning testimony this morning. And speaking of testimonies, I find that it's very important because people, as they go through their journeys, as they go through their trials, their tribulations, it's very powerful to me. I can only speak about myself. Often when I would preach, I would have people actually doing testimonies, and we'd have a lot of music as opposed to a sermon. The sermon would be often a sermonette, but we would have testimonies because we wanted to bring things to light, to show the blessings of God in our lives. So when people give a testimony, in my opinion, it shows that, you know, they've exercised, in a lot of cases, their faith. And their faith has made them whole in terms of relying on God. And that's what we're talking about today, is mustard seed faith. So when we pray and we believe and we exercise that faith, as if God has already done it, then things begin to manifest in our lives. And in my opinion, again here, as long as we're not trying to get into God's way. And so when we pray, you know, are we still going to worry? That's the human part. And let me just put that question out there before she comes, and someone feel free to respond, because that's what we're going to do today, is have an interactive program throughout, well, especially when we come to the area for the message. So, I mean, when we pray, should we worry? Somebody talk to me, please.
Before I pray, the Bible says, pray saving Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed, you know, great drops of blood, you know. So that simply means that when we pray, we have to pray fervently. Our prayers have to be heartfelt, you know, and we have to believe that God is, and he is the reward of them that seek him. And, you know, in terms of our testimonies, you know, I'll just say, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. That's how we overcome, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You know, when those testimonies are big or small, people are going through things, and they can be greatly encouraged by our testimonies. And that's, you know, the comments that I have to say on that. Thank you, Dr. Walker.
Okay, thank you for that, Pastor. Anyone else would like to contribute to that thought? Okay.
When you worry, you're in fear, and we know that fear and faith does not go together. You can't pray and worry as it doesn't mix. When you worry, you're in fear, which is the opposite of faith. So when you pray, give it to God and leave it alone. And know that he is working it out.
All right. Anybody else? Fear, false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. I've read that somewhere. Anybody else want to contribute to that?
This is Renata Bay, and I'll go ahead and just comment. When we talk about faith, that is the one thing that goes against God as far as not having it. He cannot help us if we don't have faith. He says we have not because we act not. So you just cancel everything out. There's who are you? You don't have any faith. You don't know God. You don't talk to God. You don't do anything because you have no faith. That is the one thing he cannot help you because you don't have any faith. I used to say, what's this thing? Who are you going to be calling? You don't have no faith in God. You don't even believe in God. So he can help you. So that's my comment.
All right. Thank you for that. We'll move right along now. And we'll get to more of this here as we get to the message part, and we'll spend about 20 to 25 minutes on that with an interactive program. And we're going to be talking about mustard seed size faith and why you exercise it, how to exercise it. So I would greatly appreciate if you all stay with us throughout the duration of the program, because I think all of us learn from each other. That's just my humble and respectful opinion. We learn from each other, and I think this is more of a study today. You know, we're going to have this more of a study today, and I think we'll do that on a regular basis, because sometimes we get, you know, it's all about, the bottom line is, go and please study to show thyself approved. So even if one of us say something on here that you may not agree with, this is not the forum to get into a debate or a conflict of issues. But rather to write down our questions, our concerns. I can assure you, I do not have all the answers. Sometimes I don't even have the answer. But, you know, I trust God. And as I hear things that people say, I'm constantly taking notes this morning. I got my pen in my hand, among other things that I'm juggling over here. But I'm constantly writing things down that each and every one of us say that can trigger something that for me to go, I need to research this. You know, I need to research that. You know, for example, we come on the air, we say Happy Sabbath, Shalom. I've used Shalom because we have Jewish people that come on. I use Happy Sabbath because we got Sabbath keepers that come on. And Brother Lorenzo triggered that this morning when he said Happy Sabbath. So I write these things down. Sabbath, is it for every, was Sabbath created for man, or was man created for the Sabbath? You know, and I look at the scriptures on that. And I want to, just before we go to Sister Andrea Sanderson for her testimony, and Sister Anderson, we certainly do appreciate your patience. You know, I want to throw this out here and bring in Candlesticks. Candlesticks, once again, good morning to you. And I want to ask the question, have you ever researched why people say Happy Sabbath? Where did that come from? Oh, maybe Candlesticks is not with us. All right, so anyone want to respond to that? All right. Brother Lorenzo, go ahead.
I don't know why they say happy. I think it's just a greeting. That's a great question, Dr. Walker. I know I do a lot of research and reading, but it seems like I gotta research that today.
Okay, all right. So, see, here goes the show. Sometimes we might say things, but we don't know what we're saying because we heard somebody else say it. So, and that's no disrespect to any of us who say that. I say shalom, and then I had to find out, why am I saying shalom? You know, and then I went into research, and it means it's like a blessing. It's like I wish you well. It's a lot of this is love, it's peace, shalom. And so then I begin to say, okay, now I know I can say this because this is what it means. So, so yes, our research, I think, becomes very important to try to show ourselves. All right, Sister Andrea, thank you for your patience.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so this morning, I just want to thank God for his mercy, his love, and most of all, for job security. About months ago, I started having some changes on my job, and I really didn't know what was going to happen to me because I know that if I don't work, my bills are not going to be paid. And about 2 weeks ago, I got a message from Human Resources saying that they need to meet with me. I was like, God said to me, Andrea, you know, you need to, it's like, you need to start looking for a job. So I started looking for a job, and, you know, I got it. Just before that, I met with Human Resources. I had an interview, and the day before I met with Human Resources was when God opened up the door for me. And the door that he opened for me was much better than opportunity, the job that I was currently on. So when I met with HR, they told me, they didn't fire me, but they told me that they had to cut back. And so in other words, I went from being salaried to fee-for-service, which means I only get paid for the clients that I see. So when I think back about it, I said, my God, he's an on-time God. God knows exactly when I need to change something. He knows exactly when he needs to step in and help me. So that's why I said I have to thank God every single day for his provisions, for his mercies, for his everlasting love, and just looking out for me on a daily basis because he knows exactly what I need, and he knows exactly when to step in.
Amen. Amen. He does. He's an on-time what?
God.
He's an on-time God. You're right. He's an on-time God. We certainly do appreciate your testimony this morning. He's an on-time God. And, you know, speaking of that, I think it's only fair that when we have received good news like that, great news, I don't, this is my personal opinion, you all, I don't see it as a boasting to or a bragging to. I think that when something good happens to you, it's like having children. When they do very well in school, no matter if they're 4, 5, 6, it doesn't matter. You're excited and you're not only telling them that you're proud of them, but you're calling somebody and telling them, my child, you know, made a C. He went from a D to a C. I'm so proud of him, you know, because it shows that he tried his best. I'm hoping that he tried his best at 3 or 4, you know, and even if he doesn't even know what all that means. I mean, I was in 4th grade and the teacher gave us a survey and asked what the subject was. She said, what's your favorite subject? And I said, play. Well, she scolded me at that time because I didn't know what subject meant, you know, and I was in 4th grade, 9 years old, and that teacher bawled me out for saying play. But guess what? If you ask me my favorite subject today, it's still play. Ha ha. So, you know, when we have this faith in God, you know, sometimes we go ahead and we say things that we don't even know what we're saying. But God comes in and there's a reason. I think he speaks through us oftentimes. That's just my thought. So that testimony, he's always on time. Thank you, Sister Andrea. At this time, we're going to go to our early morning prayer warrior this morning. with Sister Gail Holmes. So if you have a special prayer request this morning, we'll take it. Even if you have to come back on through with the rest of the prayer warriors, you know, and you forgot something and you want to add this, I don't think we can ever have enough prayer. So, you know, we're going to be speaking to some of that this morning also during our study period. So, Sister Holmes, good morning to you, and I'm sure you have paper and pencil ready to take on our prayer request. And again, we're going to, Pastor Rose has already prayed for, but we want to put Sister Lewis on our list as well again for more prayer. More prayer, more power.
Amen. Okay.
Study to show yourself approved unto God, what we need is not be ashamed. That's in every area of our life that we are going forth, Father God, to put study work in. Father God, that the work that he studied, the Holy Spirit will give him supernatural recall as he takes that exam. And Father God, we just thank you that the victory is already yours, Father God, because you have given him the desire to do something good for all that are connected and not connected with him, Father God, to make change. In Jesus' name. And Father God, I lift up Cassandra Wright to you and Brother Lorenzo's grandchild that is going to be born in June. Father God, I just thank you that the labor, Father God, that this child will come forth, Father God, with joy, Father God. But Father God, I just thank you that you touch that family, Father God, whatever they have need of. You have already made the provision, Father God, that they need to continue, Father God, to trust you. Father God, I thank you that no weapon formed against this family will prosper, and every tongue that rises up against them, you have already given them victory over it, and they can speak what they want, Father God, and it shall come to pass, just like you spoke everything into existence. So, Father God, I thank you that they walk by faith and not by sight, not being moved by what is going on, but, Father God, knowing that you have already given them the victory, every circumstance and situation that they have need of. And, Father God, I stand in agreement with Sister Sparkle that, Father God, everyone that on this call, whatever we are going through, that you have already given us, Father God, the authority of it. And we walk in the authority through the blood of Jesus that you have already given us. And, Father God, we won't be moved by what we see, because we know faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, because what we see is temporal, but what we cannot see is everlasting, and that is you, Father. So thank you for the power, the authority, and the wisdom to continuously to trust you. And Father God, thank you for wisdom in each and every one of our circumstances, Lord God, because whatever we don't know, Father God, we can come to you knowing that you will answer our prayers and give us the wisdom to go forward. Father God, I just thank you, Father God, for those that are out there that are experiencing mental illness. Father God, I thank you for sending laborers in their pathway, someone that can connect with them, Father God, to give them the help that they need, spirit, soul, and body. So, Father God, I just thank you that every assignment of the enemy is canceled off of our lives, Father God, and we continuously to trust you no matter what, Father God. Father God, we know you said when the enemy come in, like a flood, you would lift up that standard against them in the name of Jesus. But Father God, as we trust you and as we put our faith in you, Father God, thank you that we can exercise our faith knowing that you will never leave us nor forsake us, and you will give us the wisdom to go forward in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. What a beautiful prayer. Thank you so much for that. Beautiful prayer. And if any of you all at any point in time with our upcoming prayer warriors, you want to go in and intercede for someone, you want to make a special prayer request for yourself, please feel free to do so. We can never have enough prayer, in my opinion. This time we're going to go forward now with our today's food for thought, Sister Sparkles. We welcome you once again.
Good morning. Good morning, Dr. Walker, the co-host, and the weekly audience. Good morning. Psalms 143:8 says, call to me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way where I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Food for thought this morning is titled, Stand in Faith, a poem beautifully written by evangelist Johnny V. Chandler. As I read this poem, it touched me deeply because with every word penned, I could see myself in times past and sometimes even now struggling through life's many challenges. If you are going through some type of difficulty in your life today, please take heed to the words in this poem. Stand in faith. Stand in faith when you can't see your way through. Stand in faith when you're feeling like you can't face another day. Stand in faith when the tears want to flow from your eyes. Stand in faith knowing that our God will always provide. Stand in faith when you feel that all hope is gone. stand in faith, knowing that he is always there for you to lean on. Stand in faith when you feel like giving up. Stand in faith because he is there, saying, just look up. Stand in faith in those times you feel so all alone. Stand in faith. Hold on and be strong, for he is still on the throne. Stand in faith, even if it's hard to believe. Stand in faith, knowing that he can change your situation suddenly. Stand in faith in those times you feel it's hard to pray. Stand in faith and believe that he has already made the way. Stand in faith and believe that, well, he's already made the way. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So stand in faith because you already have the victory. My brothers and sisters and listening audience, I want to encourage you this day. Stand despite what may come. Just stand and let the Lord see you through every obstacle you may face. I would like for you to listen to this song by Donnie McCorkin.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
my brothers and sisters, I would like for you to stand, okay? Now you have, okay? Oh, wait. Sorry, come on. Okay, sorry. So may you all just stand. My brothers and sisters, may you have a great week until we meet again. Keep moving in faith. God bless. Mr. Sparkle.
Thank you, Sister Sparkles, for that beautiful message and food for thought and the song that you played. That song, if you're facing a challenge, you all, that song is very powerful. Just stand in faith when you can't see your way through. That song is very powerful, and I can certainly relate to that. And if you're going through something, just play that, and you can just listen to the lyrics. And that standing is that word standing is very, very powerful, especially as you listen to these lyrics. And in terms of exercising our faith, God told Moses, stand and behold, and watch the power of God. And I'm paraphrasing there with a new Living Version Bible. So just stand. Thank you once again. This time with Sister Brignotta Love Bay, we're going to go in and have a talk about why Jesus talked about the mustard seed. So Sister Joyful Bay will come on and share that with us. And that will be followed by another prayer warrior, Sister Cassandra Wright. We'll go with Sister Cassandra Wright shortly after Sister Brignotta Joyful Babe comes on with a focus point this morning. Sister Brignotta Joyful Babe, once again, good morning and welcome to you.
Well, good morning. I received the love. I just want to follow up with you and Sister Sparkle. You truly blessed me this morning with that song. Donnie McClurkin left Georgia last week. He was here, and the cars were lined up, and I got an opportunity to meet him about over a decade ago. He is truly a man of God, and that song was always, as you stated, standing. The reason she played it is because if you weren't encouraged, you would get up after hearing that. But he did bless us with that song last week, so I just have to mention that. And so thank you for having me on. And oftentimes when we have scriptures, we sometimes, and I know I was definitely are guilty of it, and others have been as well, we would hear a scripture like, Dr. Walker mentioned, why do we say certain things? And so if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from there to there, and it will move, Matthew 17:20. So what I would like to do is read some scriptures that surround some of the scriptures regarding the mustard seed a statement. Why was it made? So I'll start with Luke 17:5. The apostle said to the Lord, increase your faith. And I mean from the Amplified Version, that trust and confidence that spring from our belief in God. Again, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith, that trust and confidence that spring from our belief in God. And the Lord answered, if you had faith, trust and confidence in God, even so small like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Also, the scriptures that we're so familiar with, I'm going to read the surrounding scriptures on that. And I will be reading from, again, the Amplified Version. I will start at 17, I'm sorry, yes, chapter 17 and 14, and I will read all the way to 21. And when they approached the multitude, a man came up to him, kneeling before him and saying, Lord,
do pity and have mercy on my son, or he has epilepsy, is moonstruck, and he suffers terribly, for frequently he falls into the fire and many times into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they were not able to cure him. And Jesus answered, oh, you unbelieving, warped, wayward, rebellious, and thoroughly perverse generation, how long am I to remain with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was cured instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus and asked privately, why could we not drive it out? And he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, that is your lack of firmly relying trust. For truly I say to you, if you have faith that is living like a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to yonder place, and it would move, and nothing will be impossible for you. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And so now, because of, as I stated earlier, we hear things and, you know, we just go by it and we wonder. So I've always wondered about that scripture when I heard it. I said, wow, that's a lot of power. That's powerful. And but I feel it's not in relationship with the meaning completely. I mean, I got it, but not really, because I was, you know, a baby in Christ. But then I felt you can handle situations that come with just a little faith and move that situation out of your way. You know, that's pretty good. But still focusing on the signs of both words. So I will read to you from some writers on their interpretation that really lines up with my spirit and the word of God and makes it clear so we can operate it. R.T. France, Aaron Berry, and Leon Morris. Have you ever wished that you had more faith, stronger faith, deeper faith? Sometimes we think that if we can only muster up more faith from within ourselves, we can accomplish more. One of the greatest mistakes we make in the Christian life is to think that power is sourced in faith itself. But on the two separate occasions in the gospel account, which I just read from, Jesus talks about a mustard seed faith that can result in great things. Why does faith as small as a mustard seed? Ask me, what does faith as a mustard seed? What does it even mean? Why does Jesus use a mustard seed to describe faith? In Jesus' day, the mustard seed was used proverbially to represent the smallest thing. I am an one to two. By using illustration to describe faith, Jesus is directing my attention not to the quality or strength of our faith, the quantity of our faith. By using illustration to describe faith, Jesus is directing our attention not to the quantity or strength of our faith, but to the object of our faith. Our faith is only as strong as the object in which it's placed. In our faith, in the size of a mustard seed, it's placed powerful God. Great things can happen. In the Gospel of Matthew, it is not necessary to have a great faith, even a cadence, assurance in God's character, and promises. The most famous biblical definition of faith is Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The contents of that faith is clarified in verse 6. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards them. Jesus is telling us only faith in a powerful God can accomplish things that only a powerful God can do. This does not mean, however, that we can harness God's power to accomplish whatever we desire. We cannot hijack the power of God for our own purposes. If faith is a self-empty, dependent assurance in the character and promise of God, then that faith will only pursue things that align with his character and agree with his promises. True faith is aligned with his will as revealed in Scripture. It's not a magical charm to pursue our own dreams. Now, how can Christians apply the mustard seed faith in real life? We've taken the care to place our faith, not in our own resolve, but in God himself. This means we must seek to know him deeply. We must study his character and dwell on his promises. Jesus is telling us that only faith in a powerful God can accomplish the things that only a powerful God can do. This does not mean, however, that we can harness his power and accomplish whatever we desire. As I said before, we cannot hijack the power of God for our own purposes. If faith is self-empty, dependence assurance, again, in the character and the promise of God, that faith will only pursue things that align with his character. And so I say to you that the biblical faith has nothing to do with the personal effort, and it's backed up by the scripture, Ephesians 2:8-9, has no reliance on human strength and wisdom, 1 Corinthians 2:5. In other words, when we talk about biblical faith, all the strength and power comes from the object of faith, God himself, not the size of faith. Even a mustard seed in faith would do. The disciples had a misplaced faith. They couldn't cast out the demons because, according to the scriptures, perhaps the disciples had been treating their power to cast out demons as a new possession of their own, a kind of magic. They would go through their routine and the devil would come out. They assumed that more faith would give them the power to forgive. Occasionally, Jesus tells them, if you have faith, even if it's the size of a, nowadays of a 1 millimeter seed that is placed in all powerful God, big things can happen. Now, it is important in Matthew to observe that it's not the amount of faith which brings the impossible within reach, but the power of God, which is available to even the smallest faith. So, was Jesus being literal when he said that faith would uproot a mountain and cast it into the sea? Just as the mustard seed was a proverbial illustration, so was the mountain. Praise God. Thank you, thank you, and thank you. God is great all the time.
Amen. Amen. All the time, God is great. Thank you so much for that, Sister Brinella. Joyful Babe, for a beautiful presentation, as always. At this time, we're going to seek the power of prayer, and we're going to bring in Sister Cassandra. She will write down your prayer request, and if you're not having a request, then we ask that you mute your phones so that it doesn't interfere with the line. Just before she comes on, it's impelled in my spirit to give a request that Pastor Rose has asked that we make mention. I'm going to ask Sister Sparks to come in and mention the seven countries that we are supporting, and we just sent something to the Philippines, and Sister Sparkles, will you just give us a brief feedback on that and the message that we received from the Philippines as well? And we know that that's one of Pastor Rose's favorite spots or countries, and we wanted to do something in honor of him. So, Sister Sparkles, if you would mention those seven countries, just mention the seven countries, and we're still seeking the eighth country to take on. And the purpose of this, you all, is not even to ask you all for anything, because we have people who are sponsoring, which we certainly do appreciate that. But it's to just let you know that we are doing things out here for the mission, and Sister Sparkles will be able to tell you where you can go to our community page. So we just want to briefly, so Sparks, just briefly mention those countries. And from there, we're just going to, that's all we want to do. All right, go ahead.
Yes, yes. Good morning, everyone. So the seven countries that we're sponsoring is Africa, Jamaica, Haiti, Mexico, the Philippines, Bahamas, and the United States. Like Dr. Walker said, we just did the Philippines. We blessed them, and they sent a beautiful thank you message back to Dr. Walker and the Dr. Walker Show of their appreciation.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. Thank you for that. And we're also looking to do something in, I believe it is Columbus, Georgia, for the school that Principal LeBron is an administrator of. And we will be reaching out to her this week about a program that we're launching. So we will be reaching out to her sometime this week if we haven't already reached out to her. Sis Sparkles, have we reached out? Okay, all right, very good. All right, and moving along with our program now, Sister Cassandra, once again, welcome to you, and we seek the Lord in his throne of grace.
Amen. Good morning, Dr. Walker, the whole show members. Thank you, praise God, each and every one of you. And I thank you, praise God, for another day that you have given us, and I'm ready for your prayer request. Good morning, this is Sparkles. I would like to ask you for everyone to continue to pray for our sister, Sheila Gallen, for her and for her mother. That is my, and also my sister, still learning. That's for her, as well as for her mother. Thank you.
Okay. This is Andrea Sessions. I'm asking God for guidance, for healing, and I also have a silent prayer request for family members. And I also ask God for be with me, to continue to guide me and direct my steps every single day.
Say that last part again.
Guide my steps every single day.
Oh, okay. Amen. Amen. Would I be a mother? Okay. Precious Father, we come to the throne of grace. We come to you, Lord God, humble as we know how, Father. Let's be praying in the name of Jesus, Father God, Lord, whom our blessings flow. Bless us, Lord, thank you, praise you, Father, Amen. For waking us up this morning, giving us, amen, closing our right minds, Father God, and giving us the blood to run through our veins, Father God, that allow us, Father God, to be able to have life. Glory to God, because there's life in the blood. Hallelujah. And I just want to praise you, Father God, for you coming to press on this line today, God. We thank you, praise you, to every family member of our, in our families, Lord God, and our friends, Father God. Hallelujah, Lord God, and pray for the country, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God, Father God, and even those that are in helping, Lord God, to make it a success, Father God, for the other countries and other people, Lord God, even those that are less fortunate than what we are, Father God. And we just pray in the name of Jesus. We touch and agree in the name of Jesus. Father God, again, in the word, Father, we are two or three gathered together in your name, Lord. You said you're in the midst. And I thank and praise you today, Father God, for being in our midst in the name of Jesus. As we come to you and pray and trust you and believe in having the faith, God, hallelujah, the size of the mustard seed faith, God, hallelujah, Lord God, that even all these things, Lord God, that concerns us, Father God, our mountains seem like to some of us, God, that it be cast into some, in the name of Jesus, Lord to God, Father, and we just pray, amen, continually, hallelujah, Father God, for all the countries, Lord God, for Africa and for the Philippines and for all of them, God. We thank you for the project, Lord God, for the schools that's going up over in Africa, Father God, that will help building, amen, schools, glory to God, and for everything that every country needs, God, even for the United States. But you just need to know, God, all what's going on. Your eyes, Lord God, are not dim. Glory to God, Father, your arms are not short and your hands are not weak, Father. And you're not a deadbeat dad, Father God. So we thank you, hallelujah, on this day, God. Glory to God, Father, that you answer every prayer, God, in the name of Jesus. And we pray, I pray your will, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God. We pray for Sister Sheila. Amen. And her mother, Father God, to strengthen them, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. You see, you know what they have need of, Father God. But we pray, Lord God, and lift them up in the mighty name of Jesus. Glory to God. To you, Father God. Hallelujah, Lord God. And touch and agree in the name of Jesus. Of what, hallelujah, they're standing in the need of prayer. Even, Lord God, talk us to still, Lord God, if it's a blood sister, Lord God, or sister, God, and her mom. Glory to God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, Father God. She continued to learn, Lord God, and you said it's that we shall not step between. Glory to God, in the name of Jesus, and as she's studying and learning, Lord God, and even if it's schoolwork or in the words, Father God, hallelujah, Lord God, we just pray in Jesus' name that you will open her intellect, Lord God, that she will learn and understand, Lord God, and that she will obtain what she learned, God, and to go out, glory to God, and speak those things, glory to God, that she has learned and walk in it, glory to God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father God, because we are all still learning. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. We thank you for the guidance and the healing, God, sister God. Hallelujah. And her family member. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. And even as we continue to walk, glory to God. Hallelujah. Every step of the way, every day, glory to God. Father God, even us all, glory to God, even for the co-hosts and those that are Lord God, I lift and call up to you, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Father God, for we don't know everything, God, but you do. And we thank you for them, Father God, for just coming in and listening, God, and let something be said. Hallelujah, Father God, it can touch their heart, their mind, their spirit, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Father God, that they can go on a little further, God, in the name of Jesus. And I lift up those, God, today, hallelujah, but those that are sad or maybe depressed and or that type of thing, Father God, I just pray in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we counsel every assignment, Lord God, of the destruction, God, that's all throughout these countries, God, we just counsel every assignment, God, and we pray and we lift it up to you, Father God, and we call the spirit of peace, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, because we know you can, God. And we also know, Father God, that time is winding up. Hallelujah, Father God. And it's not like it once used to be, God. we just pray in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father God, that the spirit of love, Lord God, would come out of the people, God, that they would come out their shells, God, and not be so down and depressed and so down and hatred, God, for what has been seed that has been sown years ago, Father God. And we pray for the sins of the forefathers, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that would cover these people, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, where they have been, that they would come out from a place. In the name of Jesus, God, we just thank and praise you, Father God. And I continue to thank and praise you for Pastor Roe, God, for all what he's doing as well. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, for the ministry that he has, the missions, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank you right now. And we thank and praise you, God. Hallelujah. Continue to deepen this up even in his body, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. And Lord God, we can pray, hallelujah, for all our children. Lord God, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, God. In the name of Jesus, worldwide, nationwide, God, we thank you. Hallelujah. Cover all these children, God, as they're going to school this year. Lord God, we pray in the name of Jesus, they will finish and finish well. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. And we pray, Lord God, for the children that's going through. Hallelujah, Lord God, that these gangs even come, these children trying to come out the gangs, God. We pray for them everywhere, God. Even for people that's on this line, even those that are listening, God, that have children, Lord God, that they're being wavered, God, and they're praying and praying and praying, God, and believing, hallelujah, for release, hallelujah, Lord God, and that they will come forth, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Hallelujah. We thank and praise you, Lord God, for anything. In the name of Jesus. And we continue to thank and praise you and lift up Dr. Walker, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. But he's truly a man of God. And we thank and praise you, Lord God, for how you have made him. Hallelujah, Lord God. And you're still making him, God. And we pray for his learning, his education, that he's doing, God. Hallelujah. And we pray for the co-hosts, even with him. Hallelujah, on this line and the work of God. We thank you for that diligence, God, in the name of Jesus. And we just continue to pray, Lord God, even for the ones that could make it on the line today, Lord God, for whatever reason. We pray and we thank you, Father God, for them as well, God, and whatever they're going through, Lord God, you see and know. And we pray and lift them up to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Glory to God, and I pray in Jesus' name, for Father God, to continue to keep me, God. To keep me in your word, to keep me, Lord God, as you will, God, and you see fit, Father God, for my life. Hallelujah, Lord God, that I walk in obedience continually, Lord God, to please you, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. It's my prayer, I'm not to pray. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Cassandra. That's a beautiful, beautiful. God bless you. God bless you. And continuing with our program, as we talk about mustard seed size faith. Keep in mind that it's one of the smallest seeds in the world. It's typically, you know, small, round, and my research has shown me that it's usually dark yellow to black in color. So if you want to really see what it looks like, go to one of the stores and just to look and see what Jesus was referring to when he talks about the mustard seed. It's about 1 to 2 millimeters in diameter, you know, which that makes it one of the smallest seeds on the planet or in the world. Yeah, on the planet, in the world, the same thing. And then, you know, as we proceed further, we'll talk about the impact that it has on Earth, which some people never really hear about. So this morning, if you're just joining us, we're talking about mustard seeds, exercising your mustard seed size faith. And we're going to have a study this morning instead of a sermon or a message this morning, and that will be our component of our message this morning, because God has placed in my spirit that this is what we need to do. So our final prayer warrior will be coming momentarily, but first we want to pause and take a moment to hear another testimony. If someone, one of you all have a testimony out there, I know that Sister Gail Holmes is scheduled, Sister Mimi is scheduled for a testimony this morning. But before she comes on, if there's one of you all that has a two-minute testimony, I welcome you. Okay, who's that?
I have a testimony.
Okay, go ahead. Is that Sister Lewis?
Yes.
Praise God. Praise God, Sister Lewis. Praise God. Go ahead, Sister Lewis. We welcome you. We welcome you. We welcome you.
I know God wanted to give me a testimony, so he gave me one. I texted you this morning that I'm not able to speak.
Okay.
Because I have severe chest pain.
Okay, take your time.
Oh, that if I'm having chest pain, I need to go to the emergency room, but I did not go because God wants me to give this testimony. Oh, praise be to God. It may be a little, not plenty, but more than.
Okay, but remain calm, Sister Lewis, as you're giving it, please. And then please promise us that you will go. So we're not, we're also worried about you. We're concerned, we're worried about you. So would you promise us that you will go to the emergency room, please, please, please?
That's okay. That's all right. My emergency room is right here in my
okay.
My emergency.
But can you?
Here I am this morning. Here I am. I spoke. believe that through my testimony and the other angel voice of hope. And I thank God. I feel better. And I thank the God that Jesus began. And go to the doctor just his life. Maybe there's a little space that you can go give your testimony. Because I am giving your testimony. And I am God. I am your greatest doctor. You put too much trust in doctors. You need to put trust in the life of God. It's going to come to a time when you are no doctor. Who are you going to call upon? Oh, praise be to God this morning. Hallelujah this morning.
Text me your husband's number, please, when you get a moment. Would you be so kind to do that? Text me your husband's number, please, please, please. I know, and I appreciate your faith and everything. I really do. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with getting clarity. You know, I think God gives us that witness, that wisdom. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He gives us that wisdom. And if you would just, because we love you so much, we certainly want to hear another testimony that you went and your faith was confirmed, like the woman with the issue of blood. She just knew that if she get to Jesus, and I know that he's there with you. I know that he's there with you. He's with all of us. You know, it's just that the rest of us, and we're, it's not that we're doubting Thomas's. It's not that. It's just that, you know, God puts it in our hearts that we love you so much. We were praying for you on the line before you came on. And it just brings a lot of peace to our hearts because we know that God's people, his servants, are under attack. And it just makes us feel good to know that you come back on and your faith set you, made you whole. And then you can come back and tell the rest of us, see, y'all who didn't think and it's not that I can only speak for myself. I would love to know that you're fine. And, you know, I mean, thank you. So you haven't promised us yet. Would you please, pretty please? We should go on top.
I miss you because I have to go to church. Dr. Walker, remember, I'm a nurse. I know the difference, man, from what to do.
Okay, I'm gonna pray. We're gonna pray. Our next prayer war, we're gonna pray that God reveals it upon her. That would be a woman of faith who's going to be bringing us a prayer. So we're going to, Sister Lewis, you were scheduled to give us our miracle prayer this morning, but we're going to, a woman of faith will give us that prayer. And we say that with love and respect because I don't want you to get excited, overly excited. Is that okay? You still love me?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
All right. Okay, so we're bringing in a woman of faith now to give us our, just before she, no, let's go ahead and then we'll have a testimony by Sister Gail afterwards. Woman of faith, Once again, welcome and good morning to you. And I'm praying that if need be, you know, not our will, but God be done, God's will be done, to impress upon Sister Lewis to just go and for her loved ones, you know, her husband, whom she loves dearly and he loves her dearly, and that she will honor his request to go to the doctor as the priest of the home. He wants his wife, the priest of the home wants his wife to go to the emergency room because he just needs peace in his mind. So that's my prayer request this morning, that that God will impress upon her to move and, you know, do that.
Ministry. We're called Walking Torch Ministry. And as we continue to go out
the attacks have been absolutely real, but I keep pressing back in the spirit. He said one could chase 1,000 and two 10,000, so we are pushing. And I just ask for you all to continue to keep us in prayer as we move forward. Yes, good morning. Marilyn Malloy. Marilyn, like Marilyn Monroe. Marilyn Malloy.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before we pray, let's pray. A kind and most merciful Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for waking up this morning. We thank you, dear Lord, for the blessings of a brand new day. Dear Lord, we have so much things that you've done for us, dear Lord, and we don't take time out to say thank you. But, dear Lord, we ask you, Lord, to just be with us this morning in a very special way. Dear Lord, bring this for your sister, Lewis, dear Lord. You know she has some health challenges, dear Lord. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would press upon her heart to go to mercy, dear Lord. I pray, dear Lord, that she may get the answer that you see, dear Lord, to what's happening with her, dear Lord. And I pray, dear Lord, that you will visit with her today, be with her always. Give her the wisdom and understand what she needs. Dear Lord, just also ask for special prayers for her two grandsons, Zion and Micah. I pray, dear Lord, that you will give them strength each day to get through whatever problems that they encounter, most of all for her grandson who went to be studied for them, dear Father. I pray, dear Lord, that you will be by his bedside and that you will be able to heal him, dear Father. Dear Lord, I'm also praying for your sister, Marilyn Malloy. The Lord, she has mentioned that her ministry is under attack. I pray, Lord, dear Lord, that you remove the enemy. You know that the enemy's mission is to destroy and to remove anything that represents you. But I know, dear God, that you're more mighty, you're more powerful than the devil. And I pray, dear Lord, that you will remove the devil that's trying to attack this ministry, dear Father. Give them, dear Lord, the wisdom, the strength, and the patience to be able to continue with the ministry that you have appointed them to do. Dear Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, for this program, for the participants. I ask the Lord you'll continue to bless us and strengthen us and keep us. And most of all, dear Lord, forgive us of our sins. Dear Lord, we sin every single day. Sometimes we sin and we don't even know that we're sinning. But I pray, dear Lord, that you will give us that knowledge, give us that strength, give us that understanding, you know, to be able to know the difference between right and wrong. I ask you, dear Lord, to guide us to get through this day. Be with us and keep us. And have us, dear Lord, that we have a wonderful day today in your presence. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen, Sister Andrea. And on a faith, we certainly do appreciate that godly prayer. Right now, we're going to bring in Sister Gail. She's going to give us a brief testimony, and then this will be followed by her song of meditation, and then we'll go into our study this morning. And we're just praying for you all to say a silent prayer in your hearts for our study this morning. Sister Gail.
Good morning again, everyone. My testimony is going to be very brief, but I had some challenges with my grandson, and the testimony is I was able to. He has some issues with his behavior, but
but caused by things that happened to him when he was very young. He's now, he lives with me, and God has given me the wisdom that he has given people to come into his life to help him with his problems, and I finally got him back to school, and I know that with the help that has come his way, it's going to be all right, because I can see a change in his behavior where he's being more submissive to what is being asked of him versus rebellious. So I just thank God that he's the only one that can change his behavior, and I just keep him lifted up in prayer, knowing that God has a purpose and a plan for his life. He's very smart, but he is just needs to continuously to do what is expected of him as a child. But God is changing his heart, and he is doing it in a way that I could never do it. And I just ask, you know, thank God for allowing me to seek help that he needs, and we continuously to go forward. And that is what God is doing in his life. So just keep my grandson in prayer. His name is Christian. And I can see God doing big things in his life because he wants to do better. And that's part of it. He wants to do better. And he's very humble, but when he gets into that rage, he said he can't really help himself because the enemy is trying to take him out at an early age, and I refuse to allow him to happen. So I just thank God for giving me wisdom to get the help that he needs to go forward and be a productive human being in life.
Oh, hallelujah.
Praise God. In the song of meditation, a lot of people regard this song as a Christmas song. I don't think it's a Christmas song because we all need to adore God no matter what. It's not just during Christmas, but all the time. And it's, oh, come all ye faithful. So, if you met, enjoy.
Oh, come all ye faithful. Joyful and triumphant, oh come ye, oh come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Oh, come, all ye faithful. Come, let us adore. Oh, come, all ye faithful, to heaven above. Think why the angel in exhortation. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Amen. 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 Sister Mimi, we certainly do appreciate your testimony this morning, and we're certainly praying for you and your grandson, because that when change is needed, God can make those changes, and the prayer of the righteous prevaileth much. And as you continue to pray, I know many of us are standing because it's the prayers of our parents, it's the prayers of our guardian, it's the prayers of others out there who've interceded for us. So who would have ever thought? I know that my mother was praying over me as a young boy, And here I am today, not perfect, not standing in as a perfect person, but thank God for his grace, his mercy, because I'm certainly not where I could have been, and he still is working on me. So individuals like Christian turn out to be servants of God in a powerful way, because, and I can certainly testify to that. Just running with the wrong crowd sometimes, and I just thank God for his grace and his mercy. So there is a great deal of hope. Amen. So this morning we're praying now that as we prepare for our group interaction session in place of a message this morning, Father God, not my will, not our will, but thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. These and other blessings we thank you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. So this morning we're talking about exercising your mustard seed size faith. And we don't have a monopoly on who may want to briefly contribute so that we can get to as many people as possible over these next 25 minutes so that we're not cut off in time. So if you want to contribute, if somebody else is on, just give respect to that. But we're asking if you would give a brief comment based on your subjective thoughts as you interpret scripture. We would greatly appreciate that, because this is a God's program. So we want to give, you know, be mindful of that. So if you do want to say something about what's being inquired or asked or presented, then by all means, please, because this is a study period where we're, you know, I'm here, I'm taking some notes, and I encourage you all to do the same. So as we talk about mustard seed size faith, my first question is, what is faith? We know what the scripture says. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of the things not seen. So, you know, as one who, if you ask a legal mind or an analytical minded person, you know, they say, well, break that down for me. We know this verbatim. But what we need to know is how, you know, what is faith? How do you subjectively interpret faith? You know, when you read that scripture, it's the substance. What does that word substance mean? Somebody talk to me, please. Okay, maybe
okay,
we're
not. Okay, you can answer. Yes, it does.
Good morning. This is Marilyn Malloy again. I say my name because I know my mother also comes on, so instead of just saying Sister Malloy, I don't want any confusion. But this is me, and, you know, I'm going to tell you very simply, I know you asked a question about substance, but what God showed and taught to me one night in my sleep, he said to me, faith is an acronym. He said to me, he said, faith simply means forsaking all, I trust him. And so when I stood in that, I was amazed. And I said, that's so simple. Forsaking all, I trust him. Amen.
Forsaking all others, I trust him. Oh, what's beautiful. Okay, so let's move over to substance of things. Somebody give me substance. What is substance? Substance, is that abundance? Is that a minor thing? I mean, what is substance? Where is this coming from? We got some of faith, but the substance part, that's what I want to really get here too.
You can hold and see and touch, and knowing that you have it in your plate or in your hand, or you just have some substance that means you something you can, if it's a ball, some food, whatever, you can substance, you can feel it, you can handle it.
Okay, so, and again, faith is individual. It is, you know, your relationship with God is personal. It is individualized. Someone had something to say. Go ahead, please.
There's a clearance of sister of mine, a spiritual sister on the other line, on my cell line, and I carry on. And she, her name is Sister Arlen, and she would like to say something. I don't know if she says it, you all can hear, but I'll put it close before she would like to say something.
Okay.
Good morning, everyone. I hope you can hear my already my voice. I'm thinking what the word and you the word only if we speak it out loud, it becomes alive when we say it. Taking it is one thing. They show me that I went down to town. I was really going down. And he said with me, you know, he doesn't tell you what the scripture says in Mexico. And he gave me Matthew 13:12 with hope. And I was really going down to the camp. And the devil was, you know, wiped it away from me. And he showed me that I was awesome. But he wanted me to get out of it. When you speak the word, it's alive, it's a person, it comes to you, it's tangible. You can grab hold of the faith, it's the glory for us, the life. It's the hope, it's constantly watched. I don't feel sick. The hope is realized, it is like a tree of life. It can make me all of this, everything that I do, disappears, dissipated, it's all in. When I had to try it, it was just so amazing to understand. I got on a bus and I had 9 bags of groceries, and I kind of had a bad habit in my spare car to get on the subway. I was thinking, okay, so one of my sisters bought me a little purse that fit around my neck, just right here, right around my neck, up high, and it looked like a flower, and made out of black leather that looks like a, you know, a rose or something put together. And I had all this stuff that hope was happy. It was weighing my neck down. So I said, well, I have my, you know, a quick distance down Georgia Avenue to feel the strength, so that's like an hour or something wide. So I packed it off, and I bought inside one of my bags, but I didn't. I said, on the side of the bag, some of my stuff came. I jumped up, grabbed my bag, the one I'm about to lift my purse. Everything I had was in it. Left my purse lying in the aisle, but I'm sitting facing the aisle, so everything I'm about to see, I'm sitting there. And I got this house, I was in the high rise when I got upstairs, so I didn't have my purse. I even left the school. I just ran back out to the bus stop, waiting for the next bus, the next bus, the next bus, and told the whole to the lady. The lady was driving the bus that I was on. I took another one time that would come back from downtown. She said, "Are you going to see that again? That's all. Wait, you know, please." So I called one of my prayer partners, and the time was, you know, it was getting so dark. And I called her. We began to sing. We began to praise him. And I think I asked him, did anybody pass anything on? I went into the garage for all the buses to come in. And they let me in. They let me in. They gave me the phone inside where the dealt with me because some and don't they became so real to me. Oh Lord, I kept going back to it. Not a doubt, no fear. Doubt is fear, fear is fear. It turns you back on God, not a sign of his messengers. I gave up. So every time I burn into those hours, I refuse to cry because I kept holding on to this purpose that I had found. And not a doubt, no fear, not a sign on tears. And I refused to cry and I did not cry.
Exercising your faith, that substance, that's powerful. So now we talk about substance. What about the things? Substance of things. Somebody help me with that, but we got to be brief because we're almost out of time. You all, please. Things. When we talk about things, what things? Substance of things. We're trying to break down, that scripture, substance of things. Faith is the substance of things. So what things is the Bible referring to? Things, is it bread, water, milk, honey? What is it?
The things that God wants, the things that God has prepared for us, the things that God wants us to grab hold of.
But it says things hoped for. Who's hoping for them? If I want to get a loaf of bread, is my faith the hope that I will get a loaf of bread to make a sandwich? I mean, who's hoping for it? I mean, you're saying that God wants, is something he wants for us, but who's hoping for this? Substance of things hoped for. Does that mean me or we as a nation, we as a people, we as a couple? What does that mean?
It can be individual. But it can be children, it can be the family, and then from the family to the community. The community is the church, and it's right in the world. So we should exercise trust, faith in God and extend it to the whole world.
Okay, I'm going to, if I may, call on a legal mind that's on our show this morning. If I may call on you, and forgive me if I put you out there for your legal mind, asking the question, evidence. In law, evidence means a certain thing, because now we're talking about the substance of things, something that we individually hope for or as a couple hope for or as a church hope for, as a ministry hope for, like Walking Talk Ministries. I mean, what is this evidence? Evidence. Help us out with the legal mind, please. You say proof. Proof. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Legal mind.
Witness.
Okay. But not everybody tells the truth and gives that story as it happened. You have lay witness and then you have expert witness that's giving you evidence. Proof is a good word. But I want something, what the law says about evidence. We say proof. We got people who, the lay person gives their opinion, but it's not an expert opinion. So now we're looking at expert opinion, somebody who's skilled and knowledgeable about a particular thing or subject. So if I can call on the legal mind that we have on with us, evidence. Give me something, evidence, that's concrete.
Word of God.
Okay. All right. Sister Marilyn, what are your thoughts?
Hey, man, good morning. When we look at evidence, it's what's apparent, what's made manifest. the evidence is, it is a fact. It is, as someone stated earlier, it was the proof. And so when we see something as something that's made manifest that you cannot disprove, it is the truth of the matter.
Okay.
So that we understand. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So when we say evidence of the thing, so if I want that sandwich, then evidence of the thing is not seen. So I don't see the sandwich coming to me. Nobody's bringing me the sandwich. I just need some bread. I got the meat. So how can I exercise my mustard seed size faith if I can't get out to get it for myself? Help me with that, Sister Malloy.
Yes.
I want this sandwich. All I need is bread. Can there be a substitute? Can I make it with crackers? And that I'm still getting fed, but I want bread. It's the things that I hope for. It's the substance of things I hope. I hope for bread, but now I don't have any bread in the house. I have meat, and I want this sandwich desperately. And I'm calling on God. God, I need somebody to bring me some bread. I can't get out. So how is this going to be the thing that I'm hoping for that's not seen? The bread is not seen, but I know the bread is out there. And I'm counting on my faith, mustard seed size faith, that somehow or other the bread is going to come. Is my faith wrong?
No, the faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what happens is that you may not see it, but you know it's there because it's already manifested. So you want bread. You know what a cracker is, and you know what a slice of bread looks like.
Okay.
And you said, Lord, I hope for this sandwich. And he produces a sandwich. But if the evidence of things is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, so you didn't see him make the sandwich. But the sandwich was placed before you. You said, Lord, I want the sandwich. And God said, okay, your faith has made you whole, just like a healing. So you said, I hope to be healed like the woman with the issue of blood. She said, if I touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be healed. That was her faith. It was a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. She got healed. She didn't know how she got healed, but she prayed for the healing. You prayed for that bread. You said, Lord, I want bread. You know what a sandwich looks like. If someone gave you a cracker with some butter in the middle of it and said, here's your sandwich, you would say, your mind says, that's not a sandwich. So it's something that's evidently made evident and proof and manifest in your mind that you know that that is true.
Okay.
It's absolutely what is true. So when you say, God, I want this sandwich, it's the substance of things hope for the evidence of things I've seen. You have that sandwich, but you didn't see God make it.
Okay, so I want to stay with you, counselor, here and ask a question. So what about when we are praying for someone to be healed and they're not healed because we exercised our faith, the party exercised their faith. I didn't get the bread. Let's say I didn't get the bread, but I still was able to eat with the crackers and put the meat between the crackers. Is it knowing that God's will be done, which will override our will? Because if that person didn't heal, then it wasn't God's will. If I didn't get the bread, he still fed me because all things work together. You know that scripture, for those who love the Lord. So how do you explain that when we don't get the thing that we hope for? Do we substitute, or is it a substitute that God has gave us his will, that the crackers is sufficient, like he told Paul? You know, Paul wanted not the pain in his side, but he said, my grace is sufficient. So help me with that, counselor.
So now when you're talking about that, amen, hallelujah, well, according to John 3:30, for let it be your will, not my will, and the mighty thing is joy. So now you're talking about a couple of things, two different, well, in my opinion. When you're talking about healing, amen, we're talking about healing, the first thing you said, ask and so believing, and it shall be done.
right? Whatever you ask in my name.
Right.
A lot of times when we ask, we have to move in faith. We have to believe that it's happening at the same time. And I don't want to get into some things as, you know, they constantly are manipulating the Bible. However, one of the biggest things we must remember is that whatever we ask for in his name, we have to believe it at the same time it's done. You got to grab it at the same time. That's that faith. That's that little mustard seed faith that you're talking about. You got to ask and believe at the same time that it will be done in his name. So now you're talking about, Lord, now when we submit to his will, and we say, if it is your will, because at the same thing he gave us, Matthew chapter 6, where it says, when he taught us how to pray, our which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when we're asking God for his will to be done in our life, and we ask for faith and healing, amen? So if he gave me that cracker, he said that is the way it should have been done. We may think, hallelujah, that's why he said, man, God doesn't think as man thinks. His thoughts are not our thoughts, neither are his ways our ways. But when we ask, and we ask in faith, we ask that his will be done, and how he plans to do it, that's submitting to his will, that's submitting to his way, that's submitting to the Almighty I Am that he said he is. And so whatever we ask in his name, it be evidence, hallelujah, of things, hallelujah. And so when we ask him in his name, when we ask for him to heal, when we ask for his way, and if he says, I'm going to give you crackers, then he gives you crackers because we ask for his will to be done. But that's our faith, that he's going to do it, and he's going to do it the way he sees fit. Amen? Sometimes we ask for God to do things the way we think it's supposed to be done, but see, it's not for us, it's for his glory. Maybe he wants to give you crackers in order to make a revelation to someone else who was now doubting him. He said, well, you know what, Lord? Give them crackers instead of bread. Let me see if you really are God and can heal them the same way.
Amen, amen. Counselor, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let me go. Anyone that wants to chime in, feel free to do so. This is another scenario here. If God already knows what we are in need of, then why do we have to even exercise our faith? Somebody talk to me, please. Why? I mean, he already knows that I'm hungry. You know, then why I got to exercise my faith? I mean, you know, if there's no real food in the house, he knows what I need. He feeds the birds. And are we not more valuable than the sparrow of the air? Anyone?
Tells us to ask. He knows what we have need of, but we still need to ask him because just because you need something, a lot of people don't ask in faith. We need to ask him in faith knowing that what we ask for, he will manifest. But if we don't ask, he knows that we're not using it.
All right, so let me ask this question then. A baby. The baby can smell. And, I mean, they're smelling. Their senses are so sharp. They can smell. They see figures as babies. They don't, it's not clear according to science, but they can smell. So when you the parent knows, especially that mother, she knows that her baby's hungry, even if the baby's not crying. But oftentimes they're telling you, that's their way of speaking. When they are crying, there's something, I need attention. Something's going on. Either I'm soaked in their pampers. I want to say diapers, but I guess that's outdated. But they're soaked, or they are hungry, or something's wrong. So if that they're hungry, if that mother nurtures, that's the term, then you can put that baby right there, and that baby, you know, it's like it automatic. It opens up its mouth and begins to feed. So somebody explain that to me. The mother already knew. That mother has that internal instinct. So is God the same? He has that internal instinct that he already knows. So that baby doesn't have to exercise faith. That baby just needs you to put it there so it can be satisfied. So are we God's creation, his children? He already knows. So why do we have to even exercise any faith? Somebody, please talk to me.
Okay. Well, I guess I mean, it shows that, you know, that you have total confidence in it, and it shows that, you know, you're praising them and everything that you do. And
Anybody else? He already knows what we need. Why I got to have faith? Okay. But briefly, though, briefly, please. Person who's considered that they can't talk, what do they do? And they don't know sign language. That's a very good point. Okay, so let's take a look here now. The woman with the issue of blood, just briefly here, and we're going to go about eight to 12 more minutes, if that's okay with you all. So the woman with the issue of blood, she had to do something. You're talking about faith without works. What if she couldn't get out? But the Bible shows that she did get out. So if I wanted that thing, I got to find a way to either make a phone call or just, you know, how does it become God's will, his will, to override my own will?
I'm sorry. I have faith for the Holy Spirit. He's pressing on me.
Yes.
You have to go back to the baby.
Okay.
That's about the baby and the woman of God mentioned about as a mother.
Right.
Amen. When a baby cries and it comes out of your womb, it's going to cry for different reasons, like she said. The thing is that the baby is exercising, hey, this is what I want, because he said, unless we become like little children, we can't enter the kingdom of heaven. And so now here's this baby crying, but the baby cries, and the baby begins to exercise, hey, I'm going to cry for this. And he has trust that the mother or the father, someone's going to attend to that need. And as he begins to exercise, and he says, I'm hungry, the mother thinks that, let me figure it out. A new mother won't know the cry, but we begin to learn the cry. Amen? And so he picks it up and goes, oh, I got fed.
Amen. Amen. No, time.
And so it begins to put it back on his face and trust. It begins to trust. And so when that child gets older, it starts to walk and talk. And when he looks at a stranger, he knows the stranger, who the stranger is versus who his mother is.
Come on.
When we begin to learn faith, the faith that the
my people know my voice.
Come on.
They hear my voice. Amen. And so when a baby grows up, it starts to say, ah, and the parents will come out and say, the baby says, ah, ah, ah. And that's the thing when we need to know the enemy. So when God, when somebody puts something else in front of you like a cracker, you'll know the difference between the cracker and you know the difference between the bread. Because God says his word is what? The bread of life.
Amen.
And when you're talking about a baby, or we have to come into a baby, that baby has learned to exercise faith and trust in that mother or in that father that when I call, when they answer, and I know exactly who they are, and so they learn trust, and so all of a sudden you say, that baby says, you talk, you're teaching them how to swim, jump in the water, the baby jumps water because they trust you, because you have walked in that trust, you've walked in that faith, and you've proven yourself over and over, and the baby jumps into the water even though they don't know how to swim. That's God, and that's evidence, and that's faith, and that's hope. That's what the baby does, and that's the relationship that God wants with us. Amen. And with that, I release my mic. I apologize.
No. I need you to come in. When I said stand by, that means only temporarily. If you got something to say, please, it is to all of you all. When I say please stand by, it means not to don't say anything else. It means come back in. We just want to give one another person an opportunity, but come back in as often as you need, because going back to the baby scene, the question becomes, is God working through the baby? Is God working through the baby to bring out that cry? Because when you start to look at babies, they're very sharp, but they don't even know. They don't have a clue that they're being sharp. So what power is working within them to bring this out, this cry? Hey, hey, somebody, mama, where are you? Talk to me, somebody.
I'm
not
sure.
The
baby was just come into the world. He wants spiritual real. Come on.
But are they even aware? This baby don't even have a clue. He or she may not even have a name yet. So who are they? Huh? Yes.
Think about babies. They don't talk. They can tell you what it is they want. They're more spiritual. And that's what God has to return us to. When he said, Jesus, we need to be reborn. That's why they use the word born. And so when the baby is born, we're spiritual. That's what he's turning us back to. That connection is, like I said, a thought. There's a different communication. That's why faith without works is dead, but also the evidence of things not seen and things hoped for. As we get older, we think. And so now, what is it that we're hoping for? The baby is just brand new, spiritual.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. So the question becomes...
No,
go ahead, please. Okay. Come on. No, come on.
The baby, like you said, but the baby... has a substance. What happens? The baby has known the heartbeat of the mother.
Okay.
The baby knows it came out of your womb. The baby knows that when it lays on the mother's chest, and then all of a sudden it stops crying. Why? Because it's reconnected to the source.
Come on. Come on.
And so when we're reconnected to the source, and we understand where our faith, why we have faith, and where our source comes from, the trust, it's just like he's saying, he said to me, faith, forsaking all, I trust him. For thinking all, I take him. See, the baby doesn't care who touches it. If I call to my mother, because I know who I'm connected with, that's the thing. We have to know our connection. We don't have to know where we're grounded from. We have to know where we came from. Because God said, before I placed you in your mother's womb, I need you. Amen?
Amen.
That's what he told Sarah. That's what he told. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. So the baby comes out. I know we have a divine connection. Like you said, the spirit. We're connected in the spirit because God is a spirit. And so that faith in that baby, you carried me this long, placed me on my mother's chest. When he begins to have that trust, see the trust walk that we have when we cry, we have to trust that God is going to do it. But we cry knowing he's going to do it. That baby doesn't cry knowing it doesn't. When it's probably cries, when it's what it cries, yes, that's a natural instinct. Hallelujah. In the same breath, hallelujah, everybody must submit their will.
Wow.
We must trust them.
And listen, you all, when I've had an opportunity to witness the birth of my youngest daughter actually come out, and it was the most miraculous thing I'd ever seen in my life. The umbilical cord was unlike anything on earth I had ever seen. It was so pretty. And then I even got an opportunity to witness them cutting. They wanted me to cut it, but I was about to faint. I mean, it was like, I went through the Lamaze classes and all of this stuff, but it was nothing like seeing that birth come through that canal. And it was just like this umbilical cord. And then when they cut it, so my question becomes, are we, when that baby goes on that mother's chest, and then all of a sudden now there's that connection that counselor talks about, then even though they've been disconnected now from the mother to have their own individuality, is the connection still there with the mother? Because I've noticed that sometimes when something's wrong with that mother's child, she grabs her stomach. Somebody help me with that to understand, why does that happen? Is there still a connection after the disconnection of the umbilical cord? Come on, we're talking about faith here.
Dr. Walker, this is MJ. I just want to tell you one thing.
Yes.
Who is to say that a baby don't talk? I think that the baby have their own language with God. Once they come out, once they have breath, all the things on earth that have
come
breath,
on.
The spirit becomes
come on.
In them at that point, you know. And who is to say that they don't have that connection with God then? You know, and as far as the mother and their connection, this is forever connection. That baby was once a part of the mother.
Yes.
That mother was that disconnecting. God stepped in and prepared to give it strength and to be able to talk with that baby from the moment of its first breath. And the mother, listening and all, was still a part of that baby because we were disconnected, but still we had some of the mother inside of that child.
Amen.
That's why that connection will always be there. And I feel that the spirit is in that child from their first breath. And they have, like animals, anything. Once you get that breath, that's when you start communicating with God. So that's my thought on that.
Well, Ms. J, we certainly do appreciate that. And I was a single parent with my kids. And when any of my kids got sick, I could look in their eyes and know they were sick, but I was panicking. So what I did was, the mother lived 15 minutes away. Every time those kids got sick and I looked at them like, something wrong with this kid, I took them to their mother. And the Bible, and I get that from the Bible, it says, take the child to its mother. And their mother would be able to look in their eyes, and she would feel them, and she'd say, oh, nothing wrong with this child. She just don't want to go to school. And I trusted the mother, her knowledge. Or if she said, no, leave her here. I take the child to the mother, because those instincts that mother has is not what we as men have. I mean, that's just my opinion here, you all. So now I'm looking for, why is that so important? When Jesus said, you know, by faith, take the child to its mother. Talk to me, somebody, please. We'll go about 10 more minutes if you all are okay. If you got to leave, we understand. But we're on to something now here about faith. Go ahead. Somebody talk to me. Why would I even – I can tell you I took it because I didn't know what to do. But the mother always knew what to do.
You can feel for your child's language from the world. From a child is born, they have a great part in themselves as long and they don't always understand it. But the word is, they have a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, because of the vocal was there. He needs to read to his daughter while she's in the room. We read to children while they're in his speaker. And he would read to her and talk to her. Every day he read to her and talked to her when she was born. And when they, you know, they helped gave up the baby's born, the baby began to cry. All she did was lean over and say, this will get baby daddy to cry, stop really good. And she didn't even really cry. She got ready to cry, so she heard his voice. She was fine. I also learned that babies, they learn what we're supposed to learn as Lord means parents. I learned that when he taught me that. And my daughter, when she was little, when she was crying, she would, after a while, she because of the trust that goes along with the faith, she would be upstairs, everybody would be downstairs. She wouldn't even cry, she would, the whole house would come around and back and feel. So she knew, she didn't make a noise, somebody was coming. That's how we got to figure out how we found it.
Wow, excellent, excellent. So even when that umbilical cord is cut, somebody talk to me on this one, that I want to know, there's still that, obviously, there's still that connection with the source, the mother. They're still connected. And I still want to know why, The child can be far away, but a mother can realize that something's wrong with my child. I need to call my child when she hasn't even heard from the child in the last 2 or 3 days. But she grabs her stomach. I've seen this in person several times. Somebody tell me, how does a mother, is it those instincts that the child is even in a different state or country? She says, something's wrong with my child.
Hey, ma'am. This is... Sorry, go ahead.
I know what
she's talking about. I did not understand what they felt, what they were told, but now understand that she's in relationship. Sister Lewis, we're not hearing her very well. Counselor, come on back in, please.
Hey, ma'am. I want to just go with that because that happened to me with my son. See, it's a spiritual connection. See, we have to understand, every time we talk about worshiping God in spirit and in truth, the spirit continues. And when you're connected like that, your spirits are intertwined, amen? And it's that mother's love that never, ever ceases. It doesn't end. And so when we're dealing, and I've had that experience with my son, 2 years old, he was at a daycare, maybe a half a mile up the road, and I said, something's wrong with my son. Because the Holy Spirit will speak to us. He speaks to a mother because he knows a mother.